But a museum is being planned to address a largely forgotten part of Kenya's past. To tell us more about this is Soko Sibiya, the editor of Africa.com. Soko, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa, and to your listeners.
So what forgotten past of Kenya is being memorialized in this museum?
It's basically the 10 years just before Kenya's independence in 1963. And it's about the Mau Mau uprising or the resistance, actually, by the Mau Mau in terms of British colonial rule. At that time, the Brits, maybe that's the wrong word to use, the British had set up prison camps to basically jail activists who were against the mistreatment of their people. And a lot of torture happened at that time. Hundreds of thousands of people, you know, the number is not known. And this is, I guess, why the museum has been brought up, that, you know, when a certain part of your history is not told in full, there becomes a lot of gaps. And at some point, it falls through the cracks. And when people celebrate Kenya's independence, this part of the history gets untold because it was never documented. And for a large part, Britain was really denying that these atrocities happened until in 2013, when five claimants from the Mau Mau were actually awarded £20 million as reparations for the way the British behaved during that time. So they've begun. Members of the group began a museum, which is virtual right now due to the situation that we're going through. And what it does is that it documents, it has witness accounts, it's got videos, you know, people telling what happened at that time. And these are the messages that many people don't get access to, especially many Kenyans themselves don't get access to. And it just highlights or came back to the fore because of the worldwide protest in the Black Lives Matter movement, in terms of, you know, when you don't talk about something, people tend to forget it happened. And at some point, they feel like it never happened. And then it's just something that's come to the fore once more to make sure that people understand where we've come from so that we don't go back to those dark places in our history.
And it is an important part of Kenya's history, actually. It was an African nationalist movement originating in the 1950s amongst the Kikuyu people of Kenya. And while initially violent, I suppose, in its resistance of British colonialism, it did eventually turn into a passive movement that was quite keen in coming to a negotiated settlement.
Exactly. You know, and these are the things that people don't know about. It's always left at the violence. So when it then turned to becoming passive to say, violence doesn't work. We want to come to the negotiating table and we want to be free. This is when people who were against this were then jailed and tortured and abused. And, you know, what it's also showing across the continent is that there's more and more movements or more and more people or activists who are coming out and saying, let's tell our side of the story. Even if you think about African art that's sold or displayed in countries like France and the UK, many people are questioning, how did you get those artifacts? And asking for them back to, you know, because these are part of their history and yet they're told by someone else. And these are all conversations that are being had across the continent in the wake of the Black Lives Movement. The Black Lives Matter movement, but it's always been happening. I think now the spotlight is on these movements as well because of what's happened in the U.S.
The figures are staggering, actually. By the end of 1956, more than 11,000 rebels had been killed in the fighting, mm-hmm. along with about 100 Europeans and 2,000 African loyalists. More than 20,000 mm-hmm. other Kikuyu were put into detention camps where intensive efforts were made to convert them to the political views of the government. What I did not know, and I don't know why I didn't know this, that Jomo Kenyatta had been jailed as a Mau Mau leader in 1953. Mm-hmm. He became prime minister, of course, of an independent Kenya 10 years later. And the shocking thing for me is that it was only in 2003 that the ban on the Mau Mau was lifted by the Kenyan government.
Exactly. You know, and even the name Kenya comes from the surname. I know he's known as the founding father because his surname became what the country is called today, Kenya. But, you know, there's a lot that we don't know about, that Kenyans themselves don't know about. And it just shows that we even need to rewrite or relook at the history books, you know, in terms of whose side is history written according to.
Do we know, Soko, whether or not there is a plan then post COVID-19 pandemic to have a permanent building structure that will have some of this documented collection that obviously tells the story of the Mau Mau?
We are hoping so. You know, the activists are really calling for a permanent structure. Currently in Nairobi, the Nairobi Museum has an exhibition that talks about this. But we are hoping that, you know, as things are going virtual, where people can't go there physically, at least there is a virtual presence. And I think that's the advantage that COVID-19 has presented in some way, that, you know, we couldn't have physical structures. We can always have digital and virtual structures, which doesn't create a barrier for people who might have not had the access to go to Nairobi, for example, to find out about this.
Indeed. Soko, thank you very much indeed. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. Soko Sibiya is the editor of Africa.com, reflecting with us on the very important decision to have a virtual museum, at least for the moment, addressing a largely forgotten part of Kenya's past.